from the Johnson Space Center in Clear Lake to the Air Force Space Surveillance System Master Transmitter near Olney. If it's above, on, or below Texas, it's on. Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your mission director, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis. And we do it without a corporate management muzzle. No general manager patting me on the head saying, don't make those people mad. No, we tell it like it is, my friends, as we see it. Our Lone Star story of the day, why did the legislature not deal with the state's unemployment insurance debt to the feds? They got the money to handle it. Why in the revised revenue estimate? Why go and pass that along on businesses that are already struggling and going out of business in the unemployment tax? I don't know, but our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT, that's for you truckers, business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. And I told you on Friday that I had to be in meetings. I don't like meetings. I got to be in a meeting today. So Bob Zimmerman, who we had on the show yesterday, was gracious enough to do an extended interview, and we're going to talk SLS, that's the Space Launch System waste, the James Webb Telescope debacle, SmallSat firms, the growth in that. You know, some of those are in Texas based here. It's not just SpaceX in Texas. And also a blacklisting of Americans update, and this one's a doozy. So we have that all coming up in the show. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at prattontexas.com. As always, my friends, it is a great day to be a Texan. Let's take a look at today in Texas history, my friends. And it is the 21st of September in 1925. On this day, San Antonio College formally opened as University Junior College with an enrollment of 200. It's the oldest public two-year college in Texas still in operation. And in 1989, on the 21st of September, it was the worst bus accident in Texas history. It occurred near the communities of Mission and Alton in Hidalgo County, there in South Texas, in Rio Grande Valley. 7:30 a.m., a Dr. Pepper truck hit a Mission school bus, knocking it into a water-filled caliche pit at the corner of 5 Mile Road and Bryan Road. 19 children from the Alton area were drowned and 60 were injured. Two others, including the bus driver, died later from their injuries. Tragedy led to a push for increased emergency exits. There was only one at the time, as well as more stringent requirements for the training and qualification of drivers. Might not have made a difference, though. Accidents happen. That's why we call them accidents. But that was terrible. 1989, 21st of September. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by USA Investigations, providing professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. Fauci flips on boosters, now says it's not a mistake for the FDA to limit recommendations. This guy flips on everything. Did y'all catch that over the weekend? I think he was talking to CNN. What a bureaucrat. What an example of bureaucrats that grow beyond any of their means. Speaker Phelan, now, the special session, which has got some things on the call other than redistricting, but the main thing is redistricting, started Monday. The third called session. Speaker Phelan named a new House committee. Interestingly, though, the issues for the House committee to look at were not on the governor's call for this third special session. Now, maybe they've talked to the governor, and if things get done, they might get added. I don't know. But he created a select committee on youth, health, and safety. And I thought, well, maybe that's the good stuff to get these mutilating these children with castration chemicals and all that. It's part of this horrible sexualization of everything and sex changes. But no, it's to continue the House's focus on reform of the Texas criminal justice system through smarter policing and sentencing, to provide greater access to health care for new mothers and Texas children, and minimize negative educational and emotional effects of COVID on Texas students. Sounds like nothing but a left-wing Democrat type committee. Good grief. Typical. In fact, got a bunch of Democrats on the committee, too. I noticed James Frank of Wichita Falls was on it. all but Morales, one of the Democrats on there, all the rest of them were ones that had gone AWOL. These people have seen zero punishment and, in fact, are getting put on select committees. That tells you who Phelan is. He's a Democrat apologist. Now, I want to get to this before we get to Bob Zimmerman. Taxpayers potentially on the hook for millions because legislature chose not to act, and this doesn't appear to be on the call for the third session. Jeremy Kitchen wrote this up at the scorecard a week and a half ago. I mentioned it a time or two, but Monday, September 6th, was more than just a federal holiday. It was also the deadline by which the state was to pay back a debt of almost $7 billion to the feds without being penalized with interest. The date came and went, and the legislature chose not to address it, meaning Texas taxpayers are now being penalized because it's millions of dollars in interest. Millions of dollars. We borrowed $7 billion in the unemployment trust fund during all this pandemic when our own governor shut our businesses down and made it illegal for people to go to work. By the way, Lubbock's Mayor Dan Pope, Pastor Sunday, reminded me that you sure is indeed did indeed ask to close our churches here. He sent you a letter about it. At the time, we were just talking about that, and it reminded me because he's tried to get out. Oh, I never did that. You know, these people, oh, I didn't do that. He sure did. Anyway, sorry. So they shut everything down, and we've got to pay this stuff. The interest is millions and millions of dollars at a minimum. 14 days of interest is over $5 million. Now, they say you're short and all these other programs, then pay it off. Money, the trust funds, it's managed by the U.S. Department of Labor. It comes from payroll taxes on businesses. I have to pay them anybody. Even if you're a one-person small business, you got to pay the payroll taxes. And we owe a bunch of money because the government imposed shutdowns. People couldn't go to work, and we had to pay them all the unemployment. And so the economy's rebounded. You can't get people to go to work. But tons of businesses are gone or on their way out, folks. I mean, it's massive. Thousands and thousands of small businesses destroyed by this stupid overreaction stuff and authoritarianism. Instead of a couple of weeks to make sure that we don't overwhelm the hospitals, they kept turning that into months and months and everything else. Well, You have to raise the unemployment taxes on everybody massively in the state. How's that help anybody? You got inflation too going on, having to pay a lot more. Why in the hell did they not address this? I think this is another example of how we just have a bunch of leadership that they love to talk about wanting to eschew these divisive conservative issues and deal with those central things that matter. I heard that from that Joe Strauss fake for so long. You hear it from them when you challenge them too, all these moderate types, these liberal Republicans. But when it gets down to it, by the way, that's why they don't like Empower Texans and the Texas Scorecard. They don't like Pratt on Texas and the rest of us because, unlike your local paper, we tell you about this stuff. Because they don't take care of the basics. They often don't take care of the basic issues that need to be done. They just kick the can down the road. They've done it. They did it for years in school finance reform. By the way, it'll be two more sessions or so. They'll be back to how we've got to reform all of that. It just goes in cycles. Why didn't they address this? They got that much more money available to them, that $7 billion in the revised revenue estimate for that second or first or second called special session. They had plenty of time to handle this. I didn't see it on the call for the third session, so I don't know. But you combine that with Phelan's put his efforts into creating a select committee on stuff that's not even on the call for the third special session, and it reads like nothing but a D.C. Democrat-type committee. None of these people, they thumped the chest about arresting these people that went AWOL. And by the way, they broke the law. No, they're keeping their per diem, thousands of dollars. In fact, one of them donated it to Planned Parenthood. They got no penalty, and they're even getting put right on select committees again. Phelan is a fake. He's a feckless speaker, and he's a fake Republican, and people backing him need to have the egg on them too because they're responsible. Back in a moment.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dento Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, today we've got Bob Zimmerman with us from BehindTheBlack.com. There's been so much happening with SpaceX running, really starting the human exploration of the solar system beginning on September 15th and then bringing the people back on Sunday evening, not a government program, but it's what powers everything, capitalism in space. Bob is the guy behind that phrase, and as a matter of fact, not only online and in magazine articles and on talk shows and books, but also in the Washington, D.C. think tank scene. And there's so much to this. We know SpaceX is operating in Texas and building their own private spaceport and working on the big new giant rocket that is much bigger than this Falcon 9 that they launch now. But there are other companies everywhere, all around the world, getting into private space. And one of the things that Bob mentioned in our previous interview that ran on a different day was that the demand is that, you know, you start lowering the price, the demand goes up. Firefly is based in Texas, and I think there are some others as well. Bob, these companies are getting multi-million-dollar contracts signed, and they haven't even, a lot of them haven't launched anything yet. Some have just experimented. Talk about this obvious private sector demand for especially small sat market, the small satellites.
You know, Robert, it's a double thing, because not only are these small sat rocket companies like Firefly, who haven't yet launched, not only are they getting contracts, launch contracts, which almost certainly carry exit clauses because they haven't launched yet. So the satellite companies are signing contracts. They probably get a really good deal if launched, but if it doesn't go, they can move on to a different place. But they're not only getting those launch contracts, but more importantly, they're getting a gigantic amount of investment capital. The venture capital industry sees money to be made here, and has been distributing that money wildly, not necessarily wildly, but enthusiastically is a better word, now for the last 5 years. And it began with Rocket Lab, mostly based in New Zealand, but it's a U.S. company, because they were the first to get their small-sat rocket Electron launched, and they've been operational now for about 4 years. And so they proved it could work and you could make money. And so now they're following through. And Firefly is just an example. And Firefly attempted about 2.5 weeks ago its first launch attempt of its Alpha rocket. And this launch attempt, there was a second company, Alpha, out of Alaska, that tried to do the same thing within just a few weeks. And both launches failed. But it's interesting how both launches failed, because both launches failed in a similar way. Very shortly after launch, mere seconds, one of the engines failed on the first stage. So the rocket no longer had the oomph to get into orbit. Now, in the past, when something like that happened, the rocket would almost immediately go out of control, and they'd have to destroy it instantaneously. But in both cases, the software and the engineering design was set such that the other engines in the first stage were automatically set to compensate for the loss of that engine. And you could watch the rockets reestablish orientation to vertical and get itself up into the air and continue to fly under control. And in both cases, the range officers held off destroying the rockets until they were much higher up in the air shortly before they were supposed to do first stage separation. And the reason they did that is because it's much safer to blow the thing up as high up as possible, as far away from habitable areas as possible. And so both companies, new companies, never launched before successfully, both demonstrated the quality of their work. And so that's one of the reasons things are going really well, Robert.
The
technology has improved, and everyone knows it, and there's a big market for putting small sats into orbit right now because of the miniaturization of satellite technology.
And SpaceX, if people forget, a lot of people didn't know about them because it was more of a science guy thing. You ought to look at their history at trying to launch the Falcon 9 that now does launches for NASA, for astronauts, and of course now is putting non-government people into space as of this last week. And they have announced, you had a piece at behindtheblack.com, SpaceX targeting 6 commercial manned flights per year. So you got your small sat people doing the small satellites with much smaller rockets even than Falcon 9. And of course, SpaceX is using the Falcon 9 for humans. They don't weigh very much, so that's a perfect rocket for that. And of course, they're working on this giant new rocket that stands, I think, taller than the Saturn V or something that they're working on down in South Texas. Talk about these commercial manned flights. This can't all be fundraisers for St. Jude's and a few rich people. There are going to be some, but because it'd be cool if you had that kind of money. But there's obviously got to be Elon Musk is a capitalist. Everything he does is, you know, test it and make money, make it pay for itself. Otherwise, he understands that it dies. And who's behind all of this? What do you think
doing? Let me talk about this now. We just had this first private commercial flight. What people must be aware of is that in the next 5 months, there is going to be a private commercial flight, not just with SpaceX, but a private commercial flight practically every month. In October, the Russians are going to launch a film director and an actress on a Soyuz craft to go to ISS to film scenes for a science fiction movie. In December, there are going to be 2 different launches. One will be on a Soyuz. They're going to be launching a Japanese billionaire to ISS for 10 days. I don't remember his name off the hand, but he's the same guy who's already purchased a ticket on a Starship flight around the moon. But he's going to go as a tourist on a Soyuz in December. And in December, a company called Space Adventures, that's the one that's flown tourists to ISS on Soyuzes in the past, they have hired SpaceX to use its Dragon capsule to bring tourists into orbit for 3 days, very similar to the flight that just completed. And then in January, a company called Axiom has also purchased a Dragon flight to put 4 passengers up for 10 days or so on ISS. And Axiom already has a contract for 3 further flights of passengers later on in the next year or so. SpaceX announced after the flight that they're targeting an average of 6 commercial manned flights per year. Now, they're a little unclear. Is that including the NASA flights as well as private flights? They're not clear on that. But I think it's okay because, you know what, if it doesn't, that means it's 9 flights a year. You know, it's 4.
It's all commercial.
But it depends on how the traffic bears.
Well, it's all commercial for them, even if it's NASA, because they're a private company being paid. And, you know, for those who don't know, the Dragon capsule, when you say Dragon flight, that's SpaceX. That's their capsule. So we see this all of a sudden, once it's proven, once it can be done, and they've done it with the NASA astronauts, now with folks who are not part of any government program, look how this stuff is just churning up, and including the Russians with their stuff. I mean, it just shows you that you hit in history, you hit these thresholds, and all of a sudden, what was moving along very slowly seems to begin going very fast, and we see lots of innovation and prices fall. The only worry is something goes wrong, and we become such a risk-averse culture that makes an excuse for government bureaucrats to step in and slow it all down. And folks, don't kid yourself. They did that before in the shuttle program. You know, our own government adopted a communist model or socialist model and made it illegal to launch satellites. American companies couldn't even launch satellites on anything but the space shuttle. So you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there is great risk here. It's already been made clear by the head of the FAA's commercial space division that licenses these things that they are very eager to help commercial space happen, but As soon as an accident occurs, that's when they're going to move in and have to regulate. And, of course, they're just looking for that as an excuse to do so. So we must be aware of that and keep that in mind. As citizens, we must defend the freedom of private companies to do this when the government wants to step in, instead of screaming for more regulation when something goes wrong. That's not the right approach. These companies have a motive to do it right. They won't sell tickets if they don't.
We'll be back with Bob Zimmerman in just a moment with more about space and technology, and we're even going to get him to talk a little bit on the political side, on the blacklisting side today. Stay with us for more on Pratt on Texas.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Liberty is hard, which means putting up with things you may find objectionable. Now here's a man the enemies of liberty object to. He's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Visiting with Bob Zimmerman, a renowned space historian and science writer, keeper of BehindTheBlack.com, one of my favorite websites. Bob, we've talked so much about private space, capitalism in space, how things are really ginning up, costs are coming way down and creating a new demand for all kinds of new things in space. And then you got the old space programs going on. You got two big things. You got the SLS, that overchanged by politicians, big rocket program, and you've got this James Webb telescope. Now, you wrote the book on the Hubble telescope. I mean, the definitive history of the Hubble telescope. The James Webb thing, I don't want to go into it too deeply, but there is news. They're supposed to launch this infrared astronomical, you know, observatory up into space, but how many years is it behind, and how much budget over is it?
All right, a quick review. The James Webb telescope was a decision the astronomy community made in the early aughts, like around 2000-2001. They made a decision not to build a replacement to Hubble. They decided instead they were going to build an infrared telescope optimized for deep space cosmology. It's now called the James Webb Space Telescope. It's an infrared telescope. It is not an optical telescope. It is not a replacement for Hubble. It is not a next generation Hubble. These are lies that NASA's told for decades. It is none of those things. But it will be a great telescope once launched and will do cutting edge stuff, assuming everything works. When it was proposed around 2001, they said, we will launch it by 2011, 10 years, construction, and it'll cost $500 million. We are now 20 years from that date, 10 years, 11 years behind schedule, and the cost has turned out to be $10 billion, 20 times more. Now, they have finally set a date for the launch of the Webb telescope, December 18th of this year. Hopefully it will launch. We must keep our fingers crossed. The Europeans with Ariane Space is going to use an Ariane 5 rocket to launch it. That's part of their barter deal to get time on the telescope. This gives European astronomers a guaranteed portion of use of the telescope. And so they will launch it. It'll then take 6 months for it to deploy, to open up, to set itself up, and also to move 1 million miles from Earth on the opposite side of the sun, so it can take advantage somewhat of the Earth's shadow, and it'll move into a Lagrange point there, 1 million miles away. So we all have to keep our fingers crossed nothing goes wrong, because anything goes wrong on this really cutting-edge engineering telescope, there won't be anything we can do about it. And so $10 billion and 20 years of construction will go down the drain, or at least temporarily go down the drain, because I really think within 5 to 10 years, someone will be able to get out there and fix it if something goes wrong. But I hope not.
It adds new meaning to Carl Sagan's billions and billions, you know, when you're talking about money. And let's talk about Space Launch System that's had other names. I mean, Bush proposed, then Obama did, and Congress did, and the SLS system that is really the focal point of your very influential paper in Washington on capitalism in space and why we should let the private companies build this stuff and just buy time on it. SLS is a mess.
Let's talk about the history of SLS, just like in James Webb. The SLS was first conceived and proposed by George Bush Jr. in 2004. And he said, it's going to be the rocket that will take us to the moon and beyond. And they'll build a crew exploration vehicle to go with it. Now, that crew exploration vehicle became Orion. The capsule Orion and the rocket, after many iterations and cancellations and redesigns by Congress, they're really good rocket scientists in Congress. You know, they really know how to design rockets.
By the way, folks, he's not kidding. He's not kidding.
No, Congress, I'm totally serious.
Congress stepped in.
I joke sometimes, Robert, and call this the SLS the Senate launch system, because they did this. They stepped in and told NASA what to build. They didn't give it a mission, but they told them what to build. So since 2004, they started constructing this. It's gone through those iterations. It's cost in the range of between $43 and $50 billion to do it. And to give you some perspective, SpaceX is probably going to build the Starship Super Heavy for about $5 billion in about 5 years, while they took almost 17 years. Now, it's now presently scheduled tentatively for a November launch, its first unmanned orbital launch. That launch will probably not happen in November. It's more likely to happen in the January-February timeframme next year, though even that's not guaranteed.
That's, folks, he's not saying they've taken all this time to build the factory that then can build a lot of these. That's to build a rocket and then another rocket, and it costs a massive amount to launch every time. I mean, okay, if they launch it and it's successful, it's all that money down the drain. They don't have that. It's not like they built a fleet of
not
these
reusable.
Things.
It's not reusable, Robert. I have to also add that NASA admits it's going to take a minimum of a year between launches. They can't do it that fast. It's just too expensive. And so this is a very cumbersome, poorly designed, impractical rocket
that is
designed to create jobs on the ground and not accomplish anything. And so it is now tentatively planned for a launch in February. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, if SpaceX's Starship Super Heavy launches first, it will be an incredible embarrassment for the federal government, because they've been working on this thing for some odd 17 years and have spent $40 to $50 billion. And SpaceX comes along just 2.5 years ago, starts construction of its super heavy Starship and gets to launch in less than 3 years for less than $5 billion.
It's very embarrassing. I want people to understand it's very likely that when SpaceX launches this thing, it's going to blow up or fail. That's how it works. You go out there and you bend some metal and you do it again, and that's how they've been successful. The government people take the bureaucratic approach to everything, overanalyze, overdo, and by the time you get something built, it's so bureaucratically heavy and late that it's past what its need was. I mean, the world has moved on around you. And this Webb and SLS, I simply wanted to bring those two things up as a counterpoint to what's happening in the private sector with private money instead of money coerced out of you in taxes. And we want government, we need research in space. All of that stuff is fine. There's nothing wrong with having NASA doing pure science. However, they need to buy things from the private sector. It would be as if, we wanted government to just set up its own highway system so only government cars could drive on the highway system and the rest of us use something else. It's just silly. I mean, you just get out there and put out bids and buy what's available and use it. And then if you have needs beyond what's available, you incentivize people to build that for you. And it's much more efficient. NASA's already, at least under the Trump administration, come around to that. And really, the Obama administration allowed it to drift in that direction, too, to give them some credit. we're putting the astronauts up. Remember, folks, until just recently with SpaceX, we were paying the Russians, Putin, to put our astronauts in space. This country didn't even have the ability as a national program, government program, to put people in space.
For a decade, we couldn't do that. We depended on the Russians, and now private enterprises made it possible. Your description right now is essentially word for word repeating the recommendations I made in my policy paper, Capitalism in Space. And it took a while, but it does appear that under the Trump administration, they more or less embraced those recommendations. And it also does appear right now, at least initially, that the Biden administration is following through and is going to accept those recommendations as well. Because the, at least in terms of NASA and space exploration, right now, NASA is not building much. It is now buying its products from the private sector. It's lunar landers, it's lunar orbiters, it's manned vessels, you know, and it's manned modules that will go into space stations. It is buying them from the private sector, and NASA is designing nothing. This is a good sign.
Very good. We're visiting with Robert Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com, and we're going to talk with Bob about some of the political issues that aren't the science issues. His Blacklisted Americans, we've done several updates. We're going to do one update on that upcoming on the Texas Hour with Pratt on Texas. Stand by, my friends.
More Texas political and news analysis without a management muzzle in a moment.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he and his wife visited Dr. Silvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Silvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be, very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. He added that the dental work he had done would have been about $12,000 at home, and of course that wouldn't have come with a fun vacation in which he and his wife toured volcanoes, hot springs, a nature and wildlife park, a coffee farm, a central market, and took a riverboat ride, went ziplining, and dined at some nice restaurants. Learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Now, here's a man that carries his own traveling soapbox. Pratt on Texas continues.
Now, we're back with Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com. It features science and space and all those things. He's a renowned author and historian in these areas. But like the rest of us, you can't have a future. You can't have a history, a future to report on as a history. If you don't have freedom, you're not going to do much. And one of the things, Bob is ultra sensitive to these things as I am, maybe, no, not more, but equal. And I don't want to rehash the story, but when I was cancel cultured, he began a thing, it was happening everywhere. And he started this series at the site that was pretty much all straight space, Today's Blacklisted American. And go look at them. You'll find them at BehindTheBlack.com. One of these just lets the cat out of the bag, or however you want to put it. I mean, the jig is up, and it's this conservative teacher fired for being conservative and colorblind. And folks, in this story, there's no we're inferring that into the story. Oh no, no, no! The administrators actually make it clear that the colorblind thing is terrible. They couldn't stand it. Tell everybody the story about this math teacher at a prep school in Missouri.
Yeah, just so people, your listeners know, I started this column because I don't want to be a political website, but I like to talk about important cultural issues. And I decided there was so much blacklisting going on. The only way I can handle it is to do it one story a day. And I've pretty much done one story a day now since January. And I have a queue of stories that's going to go on forever. And it's almost all of them are the left, the Democratic Party, their minions trying to hurt people for disagreeing with them. And this is a case of a woman who's a math teacher. She's been there for 25 years. Her name is Beth Reams. This is in Kansas City, Missouri. She was fired, and she was fired because several people slandered her, accused her of being an anti-Semite. It was not true, but they just accepted the accusations. And then she had a meeting with her principal, and I'm going to read what this principal said. He said, let me quote, during this meeting, I asked you today which of your students were Jewish, and you probably couldn't tell us. One of my concerns is that you don't have that information. he wanted that. And she responded, well, I think it's important that when my kids walk in the room, I'm judging them on their math. He then asks her principal, do you know which students are Latino? I couldn't sit there and label my kids, Reams answered. Hill responds, do you know which ones are East Asian? This whole colorblind thing is driving me crazy because I think it's very dangerous. And so in other words, Reams just wanted to judge her students on their schoolwork. The school's principal, however, thought it was dangerous to treat people as equal humans. He wanted Reams to put everyone in their race and religion categories and favor some because of those attributes. And I will speak now as a Jew. If you're Jewish and someone wants to know your religion in a school or in any employment situation before they hire you, that raises gigantic red flags. It is very worrisome for kids. If any of these kids are getting any Jewish background education, if someone's going to start asking them, what religion are you, it's going to get them scared. Because that we in the past, when you're Jewish, if they ask you what religion you are, it's for the express purpose of oppressing you, of killing you.
And
so that's really bad. And she was fired for this, and this is a perfect example of where the left and this modern progressive community is. It is a community of bigotry and hatred, and it really defines people not by what they can accomplish, but instead by what their race is. And when they do that, it's to pick and choose the winners and losers exclusively by race and religion.
We have
evil.
We have the actual meeting on, it was a Zoom call thing,
yes.
So it was recorded. We're not making it up. She keeps saying, I don't know which one or which. And he keeps interrupting, but you got to know. You got to classify everybody. And in other words, and then he actually said, the whole colorblind thing, it's driving me crazy because I think it's very dangerous to be colorblind. And if you think that was just a dumb administrator, because there are many of those, no, all this was blown up because the rest of the faculty too, much of the faculty was against this woman and blew this up and created this situation. And it's quite amazing. She said following the election in 2016, her conservative club, I'm sure she was the sponsor of a conservative club.
Yes, she ran a conservative club.
Right.
That's correct.
It's common. I helped found
a lot
of
them. These were extracurricular activities that she would understand.
And she said the students began complaining, and I'm quoting here from the story, that teachers were injecting their liberal worldview into everyday conversations. You think? One student claimed a teacher began the school year by stating that President Donald Trump is, quote, a coward. Another alleged the teacher congratulated 18-year-olds for voting Trump out of office after the 2020 election. And that's the point. It's okay to be bigoted. It's okay to be leftist and biased and hurt people's feelings and run the kids down who feel different, make them feel lesser, oppress them if you're doing it from the left. But if you're not even doing it from the right, but you just want colorblind, none of that. You just want to keep it in its place and focus on math and math class. Well, that's the same as if you were some kind of bigot trying to destroy people.
Let me add that she was fired. I don't know if she's going to sue, but the school then assigned, and this is her students have told her this, her former students, the school then assigned a very liberal leftist teacher to run the conservative club. Isn't that interesting? And yes, you're absolutely right. It's a one-way street. The whole goal here is to label people, and then once you've got them labeled, define them in that manner. And if you don't go along with that, you are out. You're not allowed to have your freedom and your speech. And this is what happened. And this is consistent all the way up and down the line. That's why I have a daily column, Robert, because it's endless. The number of stories I could quote from the left and from the Democratic Party. I have one column which started this back in January, which is right after the election. A lot of Democratic politicians ran out immediately and screaming, we've got to put lists together of the people that worked for Trump and the people that supported him so that they will never work in government again. And my title of that article was, the blacklists are back and the Democrats have got them. And they've been following through. They've been following through. And it's really vile. It's despicable. It's against everything the country stands for, and yet not enough people want to pay attention to this. And the reason I do the column is because innocent people are being seriously harmed by this behavior. And if you're a good American, decent American, no matter what your political affiliation, you should be horrified by this and oppose it. And it doesn't matter if they're liberal or Democrat. To hurt someone because of their political opinion is against everything our country stands for, and you should be against it.
All right, I want to, before we run out of time, Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com, we did a full interview on your newest book, Conscious Choice, and this is the history of slavery in America, and it is very affordable, folks. I think it's $4 or less for a Kindle version. Yeah, for the Kindle version, you can go to his site and order direct from his publisher and Barnes & Noble, all these places. This book is groundbreaking, and you need to take a look at it. You need to read it, and if you haven't done so, go back in our podcast page at prideontexas.com. Find the interview. If you click on Books and Music up at the top tab, that'll be real easy to find that, and you can read about it, see the link to it, and listen to the podcast. It is fantastic. The liberals kind of want to ignore this book, don't they?
Yes, there's no question of that. This book not only addresses the falsity of the New York Times 1619 Project, which falsely claims slavery is central to the U.S., it also provides us a guide to help how to build space colonies in the future colonies.
Yeah, the things we've got to learn, because all the colonies were different in the Americas. Some thrived, some didn't. Some adopted bad things like Virginia and slavery, and we're still dealing with that. You know, we're hundreds of years later, and so you got to do it right. Bob Zimmerman, BehindTheBlack.com. Thanks for joining us, my friend. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.